Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We said last time as we introduced this letter that what Paul is going to be talking about is, as he says in verse 2, the gospel that God promised beforehand. That which God promised has now been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The good news is all about him. And we're going to begin this week in verse 16. Romans 1, 16 and following. "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I thought this was about the good news. I mean, that's what Paul says when he introduces this. He says, this is good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news. And then he starts saying all these really negative things. I'm not sure that I want to have to listen to a bunch of negativity. I mean, wouldn't it be better if when we get together we could just talk about happy things? But Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, hits us with a really graphic description of wickedness. Because folks, you and I can never really believe the gospel until we have faced the very bad news about our situation. It is impossible to be helped when you think you're fine. No, I don't need any help. No, I got it. No, thanks. I got it. How many times have you ever said, I got it, and then discovered you didn't? Well, there are tons of people going through life, and please hear this, tons of them in church who really believe they're fine, thank you. God is lucky to have me on the team. Lord, I thank you, in the story Jesus told, that I am not as other men. I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this. I always do this, I always do this. I'm one of the good guys, Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be me? And God doesn't even listen to the prayers of those folks. Because if you think that's a sin, or that's a sin, or that's a sin, let me tell you what's horrible, noxious, wretched sin: self-righteousness, pride, vanity. That is heinous, evil stuff. If we think we're pretty good, oh, you know I'm a little rough around the edges, but you know, I'm basically pretty. You are in serious trouble. Because you haven't even realized you've got a problem. Let me just tell you, you can't be helped until you recognize you've got a problem. Amen. And the gospel is good news for sinners. It's good news for people who realize, I need help. You want to be righteous? Realize that the righteousness has to come from God. It's not something you can work up on your own. And so Paul says that this gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now he's going to lay out in detail a powerful, really devastating argument using scripture as well as what was going on in the current culture of his day. But the conclusion, please get it, look over in chapter 3, beginning in verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Verse 21, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That's where we're going. That's why he's laying out this argument, is he's going to devastate self-righteousness. And he begins his argument in doing that by laying out those people out there okay? Stuff that was happening in the Roman Empire that was just so nasty that we don't watch it on our TVs unless the curtains are drawn. Because they're just bad, bad people doing bad, bad things. It was very bad. What sort of things? Well, the first thing that they were doing, verse 18, is that they were suppressing the truth by their wickedness. They were behaving in such a wicked way that it distorted the truth, the nature of reality as God created it. They're suppressing the truth by their wickedness because what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Whenever you deal with an atheist, you are dealing with an insincere person. I mean, nobody's just honestly an atheist. You have to deliberately be an atheist. You have to shut yourself off from what is obvious all around us. Anybody who looks at creation, whether it is the solar system or whether it is microbiology, whatever it might be, it testifies to the fact that there is a power that is beyond us, that is intelligent, and that started all this, and it operates by design. You can't escape that without playing dumb. Okay? So that's what Paul says those folks out there are doing. They suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So, well, all right. Well, the atheist then, he's bad. Yeah. Well, it's not just atheism. There are a lot of practical atheists. Verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. In other words, if you are not grateful, then you are guilty. Amen. If you're not a thankful person, I mean, are you grateful? Do you appreciate the fact that there's air to breathe? But these folks were ungrateful. And their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened, and although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And here's what they did. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. In other words, they became idolaters. They began to be devoted and worshipful toward material, temporal things rather than being worshipful and devoted toward God. And all the sexual perversion and so forth that is described following that begins with materialism. Therefore, verse 24, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Please see that the sexual perversion flowed out of a materialistic worldview. Verse 26, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, also, the men abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their perversion. We're living in a country now where our federal government has decided that no matter what the majority of Americans say, no matter what thousands of years of civilization has had as its consensus, no matter what God says, sexual perversion of all kinds should be celebrated. It's a good thing. And in the midst of such a culture, what are we to think?
Well, God's going to pour out his wrath on this country.
No, that is God's wrath poured out on this country. You see, the beginning in verse 18 says, this is God revealing his wrath. When people behave like that, that isn't just a cause of wrath, that is wrath. The way that God reveals his wrath is by saying to people, have it your way. And we should be weeping and crying out for mercy, not saying, oh, okay, well, I guess then it doesn't really matter all that much anymore.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Now, the folks who are hearing this letter for the first time are hearing this and they're saying, yeah, yes, that's right. I mean, I'm assuming that they're like us. And they're saying, that's right, you tell them. There's bad people out there doing bad things. It's a wicked culture we live in. He says, yes, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. Whoops. Greed got slipped in there with that other stuff? I mean, greed's not really a problem, is it? Are you greedy? I've confessed before, I still struggle with that. I'm not hoping to become a multimillionaire. I am, however, still inclined to lust for the biggest piece of dessert. I just feel that no one really deserves it like I do. I'm just saying it's my sin nature, and I have to die to it. They are full of envy. Envy. Is envy really a problem? Oh, yeah. After he's described this heinous sexual perversion, then he says, some people go all the way, even to the point of envy. It's like, well, yeah, I thought envy was one of those, you know, kind of acceptable things. Like, I mean, I know it's really not best, you know, not your best life now, but envy's not really a big deal, is it? Oh, yeah, to God, it's a big deal. Envy is bad stuff. Yeah, right in there with murder.
Oh, murder. I'm really against murder.
We think murder is this terrible thing, but envy, and on the other side of it, strife and deceit and malice. What's malice? Malice is just wanting bad things to happen to other people. Isn't that what YouTube is about? I mean, why are there so many sites devoted to fail videos? But I mean, the fact of the matter is there's something in our sin nature that really loves it when people wipe out. Malice is just having this evil desire to see bad things happen to others. Oh, and then, you're not going to believe this, I know, but it gets so bad when God gives people over to wickedness, they become gossips. Really? I know you've probably never met anyone, and I'm sure you've never been guilty of it, but gossip, slander, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. There is a fellow running for president of the United States who, if you visit his office, he has, I don't remember if it's 28 or 32 pictures of himself in identical frames all around the wall of his office. You'll never guess which of the candidates it is. Some people think he'll make us great again. Arrogant and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, and boy, this just, get ready. They disobey their parents. It gets that bad. Now, why is that in the list? Because Paul is doing something here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's building an argument in which we hear other people's sins and we say, oh, disgusting. Oh, how horrible. Oh, wait, that's me. So what's going on here? That's what chapter 2 is going to be all about. He's going to go on and say, if you are condemning somebody else, you're condemning yourself. That's why we need this righteousness from God, is because all of us stand guilty apart from Christ. That's what this is about. And that's the purpose of talking about the wrath of God and the sinfulness of man when you're trying to tell people about the good news. It's not really good news except for people who know they need a Savior. If you don't know you need a Savior, you're not ready for the good news. So they disobey their parents, they're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. Please understand that. We deserve death. We don't deserve a slap on the wrist. We deserve death. We deserve to be destroyed. When the flood came on the earth and our culture says, you know, who could worship a genocidal God? It's not a genocidal God. It's a God who was showing mercy to Noah and his family. The amazing thing is not that God would destroy the planet. The amazing thing is that he would spare some of the people. If we got what we deserve, we would all be destroyed. We would all be destroyed. We would all be destroyed. It's not them and those folks and them. It's us. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. If you want to look from an historical and sociological perspective, our culture has declined in the extreme during my lifetime. I vividly remember when I was still a preschooler, and my sister was wanting to emulate the style of young women in the 1950s who would wear shirts tied at the bottom so as to give themselves coverage up here, but allow a little bit of midriff to show. My sister said that she was willing to wear her older brother's shirt and tie it in such a way that no skin would show, but she'd still kind of look like the other girls in the community. And my father was saying, absolutely not. And I thought her request was reasonable, so I spoke up on her behalf. And my father was clearly thrilled to have some male in the house that he could vent his wrath on, so he didn't have to vent it on his darling daughter, who he was forever trying to extricate himself from her little finger. Okay, she had him wrapped around pretty well. And he's trying to be a good dad, and he's trying to say no and draw the line and have boundaries, encourage modesty. And he's saying, no, you cannot do that. Oh, Daddy, please. And I said, Dad, I don't think it's bad. And Dad turned to me and said, you stay out of this. I was about this big. You stay out of this. Mark my words. And I did. By the time you have a 15-year-old daughter, the girls will be wanting to walk down the street wearing nothing but a brassiere up top. That's what my dad said. You know what? He was wrong. It didn't take until I had a 15-year-old daughter. By the time I was 15, girls were walking around in quasi-see-through halter tops, something that couldn't have been imagined in the 1950s. It wasn't by the time I had a 15-year-old daughter, it was by the time I was 15. That's how rapid the decline has been. That's just one glimpse. Realize that Barack Obama couldn't have been elected if he had been out there admitting what everybody who knew what he said in Chicago was true, and that is that homosexuality is not okay. If he had said that it is okay and that same-sex marriage is okay, he wouldn't have been elected. And he knew it. And that's why he lied about his position until after he was in office. And Joe Biden outed him right before the second term began. Let me just tell you, we have gone over the cliff so fast. It is God's wrath. That's what's being revealed. But that's not all that's being revealed. The other thing that's being revealed is the gospel. The gospel, good news. Good news for sinners. There's a righteousness that comes from God. We can be declared righteous. We can be reconciled to a holy God because of Jesus. And that is the focus of the book of Romans. The reason we talk about sin is so that we appreciate what God has done.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.